let's talk about walking with God. Let's look at Genesis 5:21-24. They're going to put it up on the monitor, and it helps us to get through it pretty fast. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch, notice Enoch did what? He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now look at this. And Enoch did what? Okay, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about walking with God. Now, if I ask a question, I'm not trying to embarrass you, okay? Relax. Don't worry about your answer. Don't worry about what people think about you, okay? When you hear, this is a biblical expression. Bible said Noah walked with God. What does it mean? What do you think it means to walk with God? And when you hear that, what comes to your mind? Somebody talk to me. What comes to your mind? Fellowship. You said fellowship. What comes to your mind? Talking with God. Anybody else? What comes to your mind? Hearing the word of God. Pardon me? Conscious contact with God. Somebody else says a relationship. Okay, now listen to my definitions. Walking with God is a biblical expression that means, number one, intimate fellowship or closeness in relationship. Intimate fellowship or closeness in relationship. So I want to ask you another question. I want to ask you a question. Is it possible to be a Christian and not walk with God? It is. So there are Christians who are born again, but they are not walking with God. Right? Okay. Well, when we put that on a practical level, we see that's true, because it is possible to have a relationship with someone and not be close. Now, if I use you as an example, I'm just using it as an example. You're a parent, right? And it's possible to have children, right, and not even be close to them. Isn't that right? And we see that all the time in relationships. We see people that have a relationship. They have a real relationship in terms of they were born into a family, but they're not close to each other. You understand that? So it is possible to be a Christian and not be close to God. Now here's something that I wanted from day one, because I wasn't running to be a Christian. I wasn't running to be saved, okay, because I had a false concept of salvation. But once I got saved, I didn't just want to be an ordinary Christian. When I read the Bible, I saw people that were close to God. They talked to God. God talked to them. They had a relationship. So I said, I don't have to be the number one child, but I want to be up there close. In other words, I want to have an intimate relationship with God. And that's what Enoch had. Enoch had an intimate relationship and fellowship with God. There are only two or three people that the scripture says walked with God. So that the word walk there means intimate fellowship, closeness in relationship. To walk also means to go forward. Whenever you're walking with God, your life is going, watch this. When you walk, you can't stand still and walk. Can you? So if you're walking, you're constantly moving, and you don't walk backwards. Right. So to walk with God, here's some evidence you should see. You should see forward movement in your life, forward movement on all levels, spiritual, emotional. There should be some forward movement when you're walking with God. Thirdly, the word to walk with God means a journey. It's traveling with God from one place to another. Now, it may be geographically. And if you've been saved any length of time, you can look back on your life and you should see some movement. When we first started our church, we started a church in our home. Then we moved to a funeral home. Then we moved to the YWCA. Then we moved to an old school building. And now we're in the campus that we're in. There was a journey. a journey. So sometimes that journey is geographical, but you're with God, okay? And then sometimes that journey is spiritual. And you should put pressure on yourself to grow spiritually. The Bible talks about different stages of spiritual maturity. It talks about the babyhood stage. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. Ephesians 4 talks about no more children. Hebrews 5 talks about adults. It talks about, he said, when you should be teachers, you're still babies. He said, I couldn't feed you with meat because you were still a baby. But it talks about the adulthood. Now watch this. So when we get saved, we're babes in Christ. Then we should grow and become children. And then we should grow and become spiritual adults. So this walking with God is a journey. Okay, it's not standing still. You should constantly be moving in God. Over a period of time, you should look back at your life and you should see growth. You should see growth. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. Now let's look at the results. Turn to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. It says, "For by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation," watch this, "he had this testimony that he," what? "Please God." This testimony that he," what? Look at verse 6. "But without faith," and remember the Bible is not written in chapter and verse, okay? So this is still talking about Enoch. "So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that." Now, I want you to look at those words, because we're going to come back to those words. Impossible to please him without faith. Believe that he is, rewarder, and diligently seek him. So when we look at verse 5 and verse 6, we see two results of walking with God. The first result is that you will have your testimony. You will have your own testimony. I was talking to Melissa some time back, and she shared a testimony about how God delivered her. God wants each of you to have your own testimony. It's all right to be connected to other believers. It's all right to have support from other believers. But in the time of testing, you got to know God for yourself. And God wants you to be able to say, this is what God did for me, not for my mother, not for my grandparents, not for my uncle. This is not what God did for Pastor Mike, not what God did for the preacher. This is what God did for me. When you walk with God, God will give you your own testimony. You will see him begin to work in your life, and there's nothing more powerful than having your own testimony. Nothing more powerful. The devil came back you down when you got your own testimony. When your faith is built on somebody else, sooner or later, he's going to push you back. But when you got your own testimony, some people say healing ain't for the day. But when you've been healed, buddy, listen, nobody can knock you off of that. Some people say prosperity is not a part of the gospel. You know what I mean? I know what it's like to not have much, and I have more now. And you can talk about it all you want, but I got my own testimony. So you'll have your own testimony, and then you'll live a life that's pleasing to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't think deep now. Don't think deep. So a lot of time when I ask questions, people think some deep thing. How does your walking with God please God? Y'all got a fuzzy look on your face, y'all. You ain't got much time, y'all. Y'all got that fuzzy look on your face. Okay, how the Bible says he pleased God. So how did his walk please God? Okay, he obeyed. Okay, pleased him a lot. Okay, but how? I mean, why? How did it please him a lot? Huh? Pardon me? He what now? He demonstrated that God was a priority to him. Anybody else? Oh, what? Who? He who? Okay, I thought you had it, girl. Y'all, now she's been in my church a long time, so when I do that, she ain't embarrassed, okay? We all plan. She ain't embarrassed, okay? But I thought you hit it. You thought you did too. Okay, watch this. I use my own self, okay? I have two children, okay? God gave me an extra one. Mike got married and brought me another daughter. So I got two daughters and one son, okay? I like basketball. I like watching, like the playoffs, man, I'm in these playoffs, okay? I like basketball. But when Michael, my son, watches the game with me, I can enjoy it by myself, but I like to watch it with him. My daughter, Tiffany, she's single, and so she says that my wife and I are her best friends. I think it's a con, okay? But because all the vacations, she go on a vacation, so we tell her her time is limited. Because when she meet her Boaz, we kicking her to the curb, and we bringing our goddaughter. We already grooming her. She's going to be the next person. So Tiffany's always with us when we go on vacation. I just enjoy that girl. I mean, I enjoy her being with me. It's not about her doing anything for me. It's not about her obeying me. It's not about her serving me. I just like to be with her. She's my daughter. I like being with my son. He's my son. I just want him to be there. What am I saying? Faith pleases God because God just likes being with you. He likes being close to you. It's not about you serving him. It's not about you obeying him. It's not about you doing things. God saved you for relationship. God likes being with you. And as you get closer to him, he'll start waking you up at night. Sometimes I'll wake up in the night season, man. He won't talk to me. He want me to get up. Why? Because God just want to spend time. God loves you, precious people. He loves you. He's not out for you doing this for him and doing that for him. He wants a relationship with you. He just want to just be with you. Can you imagine the God of the universe and he just want to just be with you? Because he's just like you. So Enoch walked with God, and it brought joy to him. Not to Enoch, it brought joy to the Father. Because he liked the fact that this guy wanted to be with him. So it brought, we so one-sided in our thoughts about our walk, our Christianity. It's all about us and about us serving and about us obeying and about us doing this. When really God is over there saying, listen, y'all, service is good. Yes, I want you to obey me. But come on, child, I just like you. I mean, listen, I love you. God loves you. Yeah. God is in love with you. Now, just let that settle for a minute. That's what he got from Enoch. He got relationship, not service. We'll talk about that. Not obedient. We'll talk about that. But he got relationship. An intimate relationship. And that's available to every believer. That's available to every Christian. Just little old you. Just in this world of 7 to 8 billion people. You're just a little old spot in this world. But when it comes to God, you're not a spot. God knows everything about you. He watches you all the time. He thinks about you all the time. God has you on his mind all the time. And he wants a relationship. Faith is not just about getting or doing. Faith, primary and foremost, is about relationship. Got that? If you don't get nothing else now, you got that. So let's shift now. How do I walk with him? Okay, if he want a relationship with me, how do I walk with him? I want to move quickly and give you some five keys to this walk with God, okay? The first key to walking with God is this: agreement with God through a surrendered will. Agreement with God through a what? Through a what? Through a what? Through a what? Do you know that it's possible to be saved and not surrender your will? You can get saved because you don't get saved by works. You get saved by grace. You don't get saved because you obeyed and read the Bible and prayed. You get saved because you believe outside of yourself on the finished work of Jesus Christ. But after we get saved, it is possible to be saved and really not be surrendered, have a surrendered will. You can still have certain areas of your life you don't want God to talk to you about. So look at what Amos 3 says. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So I've got to agree with God through a surrendered will. Look at what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, watch this, not my will, but let your will be done. This surrendering of your will has four components, but I want to say this before I give them to you. And if we don't get through all five tonight, it'll be all right. It's a constant thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's not a once and for all thing, okay? You come up to areas and you're being led by the Spirit. And sometimes there are things you want, but there are things God won't. Now you got, in that moment, you got to surrender your will to Him. And sometimes it looks like you're going to lose out. So now look at, listen to these four areas. We have to agree with God through a surrendered will by agreeing first with His nature. Okay? We have to agree with God's what? We have to agree with His what? Okay, we have to agree with His what? Okay, now what does that mean? Watch this now. God is not hateful, so we can't be. If we're going to walk with God, we can't be hateful. We have to agree with His nature. Watch this. God is not prejudiced. He don't see black, white people and black people. He don't side over with this one and like this one and don't like that one. Okay? If God is not prejudiced, and the scripture says He's not, then we can't be. We can't be if we're going to walk with Him. Now, you can be it and be saved. The church is full of prejudiced people, full of prejudiced people. So you can be prejudiced, but you can't be prejudiced and walk with God. You have to agree with His nature. God is not unforgiving. So you and I have no right to hold unforgiveness. We don't have any option but to love. It makes no difference what abuse you went through or what challenge. I'm not saying jump back in that situation, okay? But you have to let people go if you're going to walk with God. It's just meat and bread, okay? It's going to be meat and bread. We're going to get back to mechanics, but we're talking about why this thing is not working. There are people in the church that have unforgiveness in their heart, and at the same time, they're trying to walk with God, and it does not work. You have to agree with His nature. God is not strifeful. There's no excuse for a husband and wife, Christians, being in strife. Great disagreement? Absolutely. We all disagree. But strife, going to sleep and not talking to each other and all that craziness, it should never be in our lives. If we're going to walk with Him, we have to agree with His nature. We have to agree with His nature. He's not jealous. He's not a jealous God. So He's not up there thinking, well, you got this. No. We're going to rejoice with people who are doing well. We're going to cry with people who are struggling and all that. But we refuse to be jealous if we're going to walk with Him. I wish I could give you something deep, but this will help your faith take off. because you have to agree with his nature. His nature. God is not a gossip. God don't sit around and get on Facebook and talk about this one and talk about that. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. He's not a gossip. How many of you want to walk with God? Okay, well, you've got to agree, because two can't walk together except they agree. You can't walk with him and his nature is going this way and you going that way. Does that make sense to you? So how do we walk with him? Number one, we have to agree with God through a surrendered will. How do we do that? By agreeing with his nature. Secondly, we have to agree with God's agenda. God's what? His agenda. Let's look at Psalms. Let me show you God's agenda. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily load us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Listen at that. Isn't that amazing? That is one of the most amazing texts that you want to find for people who believe in prosperity. Did you know that God wants to bless you every day? I see Christians sometimes, they just living in yesterday's blessings, man. Now, they're yesterday's blessing. What God did for them in the past, God, yesterday's blessing. When the scripture says he daily loads us with benefits, God wants to be good to you every single day. Now, if that's his agenda, watch this now. If his agenda is to bless every day, if I'm going to walk with him, listen at this, this is going to be something very practical for you. And to grow in Christianity, you must be intentional. Okay, you're not going to grow by accident. You have to grow by intentionality. Now listen at this. Do something on purpose every day to enrich somebody's life. Every day. Every day. So when you get up in the morning, every day you're thinking, what can I do to enrich somebody? Okay, is it a kind word? Is it doing something nice? Is it being generous? Sometimes it's just thoughtfulness, being caring, and starting your house. Because that's the place where we take each other for granted. Because we see each other so much. See, we see each other so much. So it's easy to take each other for granted. But every single day to walk with God, because he's trying to bless and enrich people every day. So some kindness, some deed, it may be giving some, it may be saying something, it may be doing something, it may be help some. But if you do it with intentionality, every day I get up, I'm going to enrich somebody's life. You will start experiencing a quality of life that you've never experienced before. You know why? Because it will move you out of the realm of selfishness. Most people, saved and unsaved, operate in the realm of selfishness. Me, my, what's good for me, my blessings, my this, my this, my this, my this. If you would, with intentionality, make the decision to enrich somebody's life every single day, God gonna manifest himself in your life in a way that you've never experienced before. So I must agree with God through a surrendered will that involves four things. Agreement with God's nature, agreement with God's agenda, and then thirdly, agreement with God's plan. Agreement with God's plan. Where is God going? Do you know? He's staying in heaven. Okay. I got you. Okay. Let me phrase it a little bit different. Where are you going? No, I'm not talking about heaven. Because, see, that's already set. All you got to do is be saved to go to heaven. Where are you going? Okay, you say, but where are you going? What is God's plan for your life?
Amen.
What, not what you decide to major in.
Come on,
not the work you're doing. Not your job.
Hello.
Because people work jobs for 40 years, 30 years, and never fulfill God's plan for their life. What is God saying to you about your life and his plan? Have you asked him? Is that a part of your mind? Or have you just thought, well, I got a degree in this and I've been working on this field for so long? But, you know, like I read somewhere where a person was climbing the ladder of success and they got to the end of their life and found out that the ladder was leaning up against the wrong building. My plan was to be an attorney. That was my plan. I wanted to be a black Perry Mason. And I know some of my millennials don't even know who Perry Mason is, but he was a television attorney, and he always win the case. He always won. Always. At the end of the show, he won. And that was my goal. I was in law school when the Lord called me. I went out to I was getting ready to go to a constitutional law class, and I went out in my car to eat my lunch, minding my own business, and God called me in the ministry. God's plan was ministry. My plan was to be an attorney. If I'd have followed my plan, now listen carefully, if I'd have followed my plan and been the greatest attorney who ever lived, at the end of my life, I would have been a failure. Not to man. Everybody would have esteemed me. Everybody would have gave flowers. Probably at my funeral, they said that was the best attorney we ever had. Okay. And then I got to stand before God, and God going to say, hey, what was that? See, I want God to say, well done. I don't want him to say, well. you know, I'm standing before God, and God said, well, no, man, come on with the rest of it. Well done. So the issue, if you're going to walk with God, you should be asking God, what is your plan for my life? What do you have for me? What is your plan? I know what I've been doing. I know where I've been going. I know what I've been trying to do, and I know what I want. Just for a moment, lay that aside and say, hey, God, I want to walk with you, and I want to know your plan for my life. And I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. It is the greatest life you ever live. You couldn't give me a law degree. You couldn't give me that. You can give me all the life that I'm living is the greatest. It's the most exciting life. And I was fighting it, kicking and screaming, fighting it. But God knew what would bring fulfillment to me. God knows what will bring fulfillment to you. Now, listen at this. Listen to this, and let's just go with the flow on this. How many parents here? How many of you want your children to be successful? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's all of us, right? Okay. If you got young kids, pray about them. Okay, pray about them and pray about their life and then watch them. Watch them, because the scripture says, train them up in the way they should go, not the way we want them to go. You see what I'm saying? I was going to talk to you a little bit about the teaching gift. I'm called to be a teacher. It was all my life as a kid. I was in Sunday school class. Every time the teacher asked a question, I answered. You know that lady turned that class over to me? I started teaching Sunday school at around 11 or 12. It was there. My goddaughter, Constance Blaylock, is an elementary school teacher. I tell her all the time, Constance is in her early 20s. I tell all the time, she's been teaching all her life. When she was a little girl, she's come over our house. My little goddaughter come over our house. I was walking by the bedroom one day, and Counsel was in there. And I heard her talking. She said, sit over there. Get over there and sit down. And be quiet. Be quiet now. I'm going to put you in the corner. I walked past the thing. And I went back to see who was in there. That little girl had her little invisible class. And she was just doing, listen, God's plan is a part of your life. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. Watch this. And he's equipped you. He's already given you the equipment. He's already given you. Frustration is us trying to force something. Okay. And whenever you're doing something and you get to that point, well, I'm just frustrated. I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. That's the movement of God. That's the spirit of God trying to usher you, trying to get you in the place. So he creates an unrest. He creates an unrest in you because he's trying to navigate you over into that place where you're going to be successful. You're going to bring eternal benefit to others, and you're going to be as fulfilled as you'll ever be in your whole life. But it may be revolutionary. It may be something totally different than you ever imagined. So how do I walk with God? We just dealing with number one. It looks like we don't get past number one. Okay, how do I walk with God? I have to walk with him by agreeing with God through a what? Surrender will. And there are four areas I must agree with his nature. I must agree with his agenda. I must agree with his plan. And then fourthly, I must agree with his pace. What is his pace? I want to get ahead of him. I don't want to be behind him. I don't want to be slow. I want to be right with his pace. You've heard me say it over and over. I'm always trying to figure out, what do you want me to do? How you want me to do it? When I started praying about Columbus, he said, do something small first. Okay, that's his pace. Do something small. See, God's pace is always something you can handle. Our pace burdens us. Does that make sense? Sometimes it covers every area. Sometimes we try to believe God for the mansion. Well, really, we should believe God for the next step. You understand that? See, the next step is what you can handle. I never felt the pressure that a lot of Christians feel. I never felt that because I never tried to prove to others anything. So for me, prosperity was always the next step from mama's house to a starter house. Well, rental house to a starter house. And at every place, I never felt the pressure and I never stopped tithing. See, some people, they believe all this stuff and then they get in it and then they can't pay for it. So now they got to stop tithing and then they end up going down, 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 down. Why? Because they're not in pace. What is God's pace? Walking, agreeing with him in his pace. What does he want me to be doing right now? And you can handle it. It's not going to be a burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When you're operating in his pace, does that make sense to you? Can I give you one more? I'm out of time, but can I give you one more? Because I got five. You got to give me at least two. Okay. Let's look at the second key to walking with God. It's a commitment to walk in the light of God's word, a commitment to walk in the light of God's word. Watch this. As you become aware of it. A commitment to walk in the light of God's word as you become aware of it. Look at what the scripture says. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Son, cleanses us from all what? Now, notice walking in the what? Light. Now, this is a very important key to walking with God, because it's going to take some pressure off you. If you listen to me, it's going to take a lot of pressure off you. Listen, allow me to explain this key. God does not expect perfection. You hear that? He does not expect what?
Perfection.
Okay. He does not have this big old standard. You know what I mean? And you got to be perfect. And you got Christians, they're trying to be perfect. You know what I mean? No. God does not expect you to be perfect. Now watch this. What he expects from you is to walk in the light as you become aware of it. I have members of our church. Sometimes, you know, I teach on different subjects. Sometimes I teach on family and teach on marriage and stuff like that. I can't tell you the number of times I've had people to come up and say, man, if I just knew this stuff before, man, if I knew this 20 years ago, man, I would have did. And so sometimes people feel bad because they didn't know it, you know what I mean? And they may have gone through a divorce, may have gone through this, but they just didn't know. So God ain't up there saying, like, yeah, I'm going to get you, coach. No. God is like this. He knows you didn't know. So all he's saying is, okay, now you're under the word, you're hearing the word, just walk in the light of it. As you get light on it, just walk in the light on it. Now, watch this. Secondly, he doesn't require perfection. Okay? He wants you to walk in the knowledge. You come to Bible study, you learn something. Just walk it out. Okay, just walk it out. That's all he wants you to do. Walk it out. Now, watch this. He knows that you cannot undo your past. And he's not expecting you to do it. Okay, he knows. So get that guilt thing off of you. Get that regret, the coulda, woulda, shoulda stuff off of you. God knows you cannot undo it. Okay, this is how you deal with it. You say, God, forgive me. Just forgive me. Just forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. Got it?
Amen.
Now, if I hurt this person, I hurt Melissa. Because I'm walking in the light now, I'm going to say, Melissa, will you forgive me? That was just wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, watch this. Now I'm going to move on. I ain't going to be tripping. See, what sometimes when I'm teaching, and I have a prophetic office that I stand in. Sometimes the Spirit of God shows me things. So don't get messed up. He don't always show me faces, okay? But sometimes in my teaching, I know something. So listen at this. For example, let's say you had an abortion. Okay. Well, you ain't want it. Okay. You didn't want to deal with it. You didn't want that situation. You know what I mean? But you walk it in the light. You can look back on that thing and say, man, that wasn't right what I did. Okay? God is not holding that over your head. Okay? You can't undo that. You can't undo that. Okay? You say, God, I'm so sorry. And then you move. Because if you stay under the weight of it, Satan will jump on you. And he keep bringing that to you. You have to resist that. Because God is not holding that against you. He wants you to walk in the light as you become aware of it. Okay? And he knows that you cannot undo your past. Let me ask you a question. I'll close right here. How many of you have scrambled an egg? Wait at me. If you scramble an egg, okay. How many of you have ever unscrambled an egg that you had scrambled? You cannot do it. Okay, so receive the freedom that God is speaking to you. Okay, I know God is speaking to people right here. Okay, receive it because God want to be close to you. And he can't be close if you're whipping yourself up. Okay? And Satan want to block it because he want to keep bringing it up. So every time you look at a commercial, every time you hear somebody say something about abortion, Satan says, see there? That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. And so you can't walk with him under a burden of guilt. That was just for some people in particular. Okay? Receive it. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive it. I'm here just to deliver the message. It's not my message. It's him. It's him saying, I love you. I care about you. And I want to be close to you.